Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 9 lines from the top of Daf Chof Tes. But before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei the topic and Mivneh the structural note, where we feature a triangle. As you can see in the Gemara text itself, a few triangles appear. So we have noted the word Masikin in quotation marks, that has to do with burning. Gimel Machloikos Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Inyan Hadlaka Benoilad. We'll see three examples of machlokas, a controversy between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, regarding lighting with something that didn't actually appear to be for lighting at the entrance of Shabbos. There's a concept of muktza and nolad that has to do with things and their availability at the beginning of Shabbos. So let's see by way of example what we are referring to. Om Rav Yudah Marav, Masikin B'Kalim V'Ein Masikin B'Shivrei Kalim Divrei Rav Yudah. One is allowed to burn vessels on Yom Tov. Of course, on Shabbos there is a prohibition of burning whatsoever. So we're talking about using things for fuel on Yom Tov. You can use vessels, but you cannot use items that broke on Yom Tov per se, or on Yom Tov proper, because at the entrance of Yom Tov they were designated for use as one thing. Let us say a wooden chair. It was designed for sitting, and in the course of Yom Tov, if it broke, so it's no longer what it was designed for at the time that Yom Tov set in. Therefore, it's not available. It's a form of, it's called muktza, and a subcategory of muktza is nolad. It's something that literally was born, that didn't exist at the time that Yom Tov set in. Now, Rabbi Yehuda holds that things like that are forbidden for use. Rabbi Shimon Mati, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from that prohibition, so he says, you can use the Shivrei Kalim as well. Masikin Bitmorin, a person can throw dates into a fire. Dates, it's a food item. When Yom Tov entered, it was something available for eating. You choose to throw it into a fire, okay, so you can use it as fuel. Ochlon, if you ate the dates on Yom Tov, so what's left is the date pit. So ein masikin begar inehem, different Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Yehuda, in character, says you can't use the pits. The pits were part of a date when Yom Tov set in. Now they are by themselves. They are not what they they're now useful as fuel, but you cannot use them because they weren't designated as such when Yom Tov set in. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon allows it. And a third example, Masikin Be'egoizim. This is the use of nuts. That a nut is a food item that has a shell, and on the inside there is the meat. So you can throw the uneaten nut into a fire using it as fuel. Ochlon. However, once you eat the nut, in other words, you crack open the shell, eat the interior, the contents, ein masikin beklipasin, you cannot use the shells as fuel. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, of course you ate them on Yom Tov, so you cannot use the shells that are left from the nuts that you ate on Yom Tov, you cannot use the shells as fuel. Rabbi Shimon Matir. So, you see three machlokasim in which Rabbi Yehuda is restrictive and Rabbi Shimon is allowing. Utsricha. And the truth is, we need all three examples. In other words, having taught one, I wouldn't have been able to figure out the others. In fact, even by teaching two of the examples, I wouldn't have been able to figure out the third. So, what we have by way of markings, you'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text is the word tzricha, encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. That indicates that all of the lines of the Gemara that follow form this point. And the point is, Tzricha means I need all of the examples. And the Gemara works through each one. What we've done with our markings is we squiggle underlined where the Gemara says, E Ashminen, if I had been told, so enabling you to see the breakdown of this Gemara. The Gemara says, De'i Ashminen Kamaisa, had I told you the first case, that's the case of the Shivrei Kelim, Bahi Kama Rebuta, there Rebuta is restrictive, Mishum Deme'ikora Kli Vashto Shever Kli. At the beginning of Yom Tov, it was one thing, it was a complete vessel, and now it's a broken vessel. Vahavile Nolad Vaser, it's a brand new item. Nolad means it's born anew, it's like a brand new entity, and therefore it's Oser Avol Tomorim. But as far as the dates, Deme'ikora Garinim, Vahashto Garinim, when Yom Tov set in, the pits were there as pits, and it now is a pit, albeit without the surrounding fruit. So Amos Shapir Domi, I would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda would allow that case. In other words, the level of change is less pronounced. So therefore, I need to teach the case of the dates as well. V'yashminu garinin, had I taught the case of the pits, Have amino de meikara machasyon v'hashto megalion. There, I would understand that Rabbi Yehuda will be restrictive because at the onset of Yom Tov, they were covered. Now they're exposed. So it's a type of, we'll say it, a semi-major change. And therefore, they are not designed for Yom Tov use as fuel. Avol klipe egozim, but as far as the shells of the nuts, de meikara miglu v'hashto miglu. At the onset of Yom Tov, they were exposed. They were visible. You could see them. You could possibly even think all kinds of thoughts regarding that which you see. The hashto miglu, and now after you finished eating them, they remain visible. Amo shapir domi. I would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda would allow that, so that by having taught the case of shivrei kelim, I couldn't have figured out the case of the date pits, and by teaching the case of the date pits, I couldn't have figured out Rabbi Huda's position on with regard to the shells. Tzricha, therefore I need all of these cases. So with this we conclude our long point, or this long tzricha, why I need to be taught all three cases. Now the Gemara makes a point. We call this a long point. You can see the nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Let us not forget that this section of Gemara was introduced by Rav, where we saw 9-10 lines from the top. We had underlined his name. Here the Gemara says, "V'ha de Rav lav beferush itmar elo michlola itmar." That which Rav Yehuda, that which Rav said, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot use date pits. This is not something that Rav taught in an explicit fashion, but we derive this from an incident. Michlola, loosely translated, from some other incident, we inferred or we extrapolated that this is what Rav would have said. And here's a little story. The Rav Ochal Tamri, Rav was eating dates during a weekday. V'shoda kashiyaisa lebuchia, and he threw the pits, the date pits, into an oven to add to the fuel. Omar le Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia says to Rav, Bar Pachti. Bar Pachti is an expression Rashi says, Ben Gedolim, son of great people. He says, Great one. Kenegdo b'yom tov aser. What you did now, it's a weekday, that's fine. But had it been on a Yom Tov, it would have been forbidden to do that. In other words, you would have a situation where on Yom Tov day proper, you would have been eating the dates, and then left with the pits, you would not have been allowed to throw the pits into the fire. Kiblomine o lo kiblomine. Did Rav accept that or not? Toshma. Also, Rav Lebovel. When Rav came to Bovel, Ochal Tamri, he ate dates on Yom Tov. V'shoda kashiyaisa l'chiyusa, and he threw the date pits to animals as animal food. So that you see that after his eating of the dates, he was still moving around the pits for an alternative purpose. My Lav, how are we not to understand this story of Rav with his dates on Yom Tov? Beparsiasa velo kibla. Pras Yosef is a certain type of date. It's a date variety where the date meat does not cling onto the date pit, so you're left with a raw, naked date pit, or a clean date pit. And you see that Rav was still using the date pits for other purposes. In other words, he wasn't viewing them as something forbidden to be used on Yom Tov. So, and that would show lo kibla, that he did not accept Rav Chiyo's psak before, who said kinegdo b'yom tovasur. Here we see Rav giving the date pits without any date meat left on them to the animals. The Gemara says loy. That's not what the story was. Bar miyosa, it was dates that are called the armiyoso dates, and the nature of those dates is that the meat of the date fruit still sticks to the pit. There's another pshat that's given on the side. They are a very soft type of date pit that are eaten together with the dates. And the point is that hoyu v'chozi agav imayu. They are fit along with literally their mother, but it means their original meat that was on them. So after all is said and done, we see that Rav was true. He was moving date pits, but they were date pits that still had date meat on them, or were still edible. So they were not a case of nolad. But, and here's the main point, but if they had been parsiosa dates, Rav would have forbidden their use for all their alternative use as animal feed, like Rebbe Yehuda. And it's also important to point out, like, by the way, that Rav holds like Rebbe Yehuda with regard to this topic of muktzah. So that this is the point that was made, that Rav, in presenting above Rebbe Yehuda as forbidding the moving around of the dates as fuel on Yom Tov, that would be the second triangle. This was derived. That's what I meant. Michlola in my was derived from this incident that we just read in the Gemara, that Rav would concur with the prohibition, but not that he actually said it beferish in an explicit fashion, but rather from this incident. Omar lei Rav Shmuel bar Chano le Rav Yosef. So Rav Shmuel asks, Le Rebbe Yehuda, according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, the Omar, Masikin Bekalim Ve'ein Masikin Beshivrei Kalim, that one can use complete vessels that are available for use, but not, one cannot use as fuel broken vessels, those vessels that broke on Yom Tov. We have a problem. Kefon de Adlik Behu Porta, let's say you took a chair and threw it into a fire on Yom Tov. In order to keep the fire burning, one has to stoke the fire. One has to move the fuel that's in the fire, move it around. And once I throw the chair into the fire, have it lay shivrei kelim. Well, once it starts burning, it then becomes a broken vessel, categorized as a broken vessel. And as he is stoking around the fire, mahapich means to flip things around, flipping around the fuel, beisura kamahapich. He's now moving around that which was you, that was once a chair, but no longer is a chair. So how is that allowed? Answer, the Ovid kiderav matana. He will follow the idea of Rav Matana, the Omar Rav Matana, Omar Rav, Eitzim Shinoshu Minadekel Letanor, Biyomtov. Imagine an oven, a stove, that's located under a tree, and branches broke off the tree on Yom Tov. Now, that which becomes detached from the tree on Yom Tov is something that's not fit for use. It's a problem of muksa. It was part of a tree when Yom Tov set in, and hence you had no access to it. No legal access to it. You would have had to break off the branch on Yom Tov, and that's forbidden to do. Well, here the branch broke off on its own on Yom Tov, so the branch itself is muktzah, but it fell into a burning stove. Marve Eitzim Muchonim Umasikan. What you can do is you add to the fire wood that's been prepared from the beginning of Yom Tov to serve as fuel, add that to the oven, and it becomes the majority, and then we determine mixtures by the majority, and then we would say, well, we have a majority of allowed fuel, so you can then stoke the whole fire. Same thing with the chair that you might be using as fuel, because of Rabbi Yehuda's teaching that you are able to burn with kelim, with complete vessels, and when you want to come to stoke the fire, so make sure that there is a majority of logs there, something that was fit to be used as fuel at the onset of Yom Tov. So the majority is allowed. You notice that we have a bow tie shape, and this represents a second bow tie. And we had already in our previous year the first of these markings. Here we are explaining the machloikis, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva, in the Mishnah regarding the psilas habegit shekiplo velohi vavo, that whether it's tome or it is tor, meaning is it mekabel tuma or not mekabel tuma. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, let's glance at the side under our nosei, our topic heading, kule matlonios. Matlonios are pieces of fabric. You might want to refer to them as little pieces of rag material. Kule is something that, like from the word kal, something we take light, something that we take lightly, as insignificant, pieces of fabric that are insignificant. So kule matlonios, daitel shel Rav Hamnuna, we're going to be exposed to the opinion, the thinking of Rav Hamnuna. He's the name that you see in the dime, in the bow tie shape. And his opinion is, shemachloikis Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Kiva b'mishnah b'nyin tumah, the machloikis that we saw between Rabbi Eliezer, who says tameyahi, that the psilas habeged shekibla v'vaho tameyahi, and Rabbi Kiva says tohora, that's havi beinyon matlonios pochos mishloi shal shlutfochim. Their machlokis is focusing on patches or pieces of fabric less than 3 by 3 hand breadths in area. Uchremeforish bebraiso v'al yidei ula b'gemara, and this will be explained by a Tanaic source combined with ula in the Gemara. And so, in addition to the bow tie, we have another marking, and we have, that's a long point marking. You can see the nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line, and this is a rather long marking. It takes us down a number of lines from the top of Amud Beis as well. So we need to go through all of this Gemara in order to see the point. Rav Hamnuna Omar. We're now reading in the Gemara. Rav Huna said, "Hocha bepochos mishlosha shlosha skinon." Here in the Mishnah regarding the issue of the tuma, we're dealing with a piece of fabric that's less than 3 by 3 hand breadths in area. Umikulei matlonios shanukan, and we're focusing on or we're dealing with small pieces of fabric that people take lightly, treat lightly. Treat as people view with as insignificant. Rashi makes a very important point here, and that the machloikis that we see in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva on Tameyahi or Tahorahi is not dealing with the issue of the rolled up fabric to make it into a wick. The idea of rolling up the fabric that's called the kippul is cited in the Mishnah that we said psilas ha-beged shekipla, that was folded or rolled up. That was because of the din of hivhuv, that the need to singe it before lighting it. But as far as tameyahi or tahorahi, depending on which tana you are dealing with, that aspect of the psilas habeged, of the piece of fabric that we're dealing with, it's not necessarily folded up or rolled up for the point of Kabbalah's Tumah. So that we go on in the Gemara and cite V'ozda Rabbi Lezer L'tamei, Rabbi Akiva L'tamei, and Rabbi Lezer was Machmir, who says Tameyahi, and Rabbi Akiva, who's Mekil, says Tahorahi. Each one is consistent with their opinions as we find elsewhere. Disnan, And here we have a Tanaic source. And in this source, we're going to see an underlining of three names, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva. Of course, we're most interested now in Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Disnan. In this source, it says, Pochos Mishlosha Shlosha, a piece of fabric less than 3 by 3 hand breadths. Sheskinu Lefakik Boes Emerchot, Lenar Boi Esegdero, Lekaneach Boes Erechayim. Three different actions that one might perform with this piece of material. The first being is to use it as a seal for the holes in a bathhouse. Rashi explains a little bit more what that is, but we can go on in the Gemara. Lenayr bo esekdera, use it as a potholder, and lekanech bo esrechaim, use it as a rag for cleaning out a grindstone. So this piece of material that's less than 3 by hand breadths in area, bain min hamuchan ubain shein min hamuchan. These expressions are vague and will be discussed in the Gemara. But literally, whether it's been muchan, it's prepared, or it's not prepared, tome, divrei Rabbi Eliezer, it will mekabel tuma. So that Rabbi Eliezer is very strict in the tuma sense. whether it's muchan or not muchan, it's mekabel tuma. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, bein min hamuchan, bein shelo min hamuchan tahor. He takes the other extreme, that whether it's muchan or not, this fabric that's less than 3 by 3 handbreadths will not mekabel tuma. Rabbi Kiva Omer, min hamuchan tamei, v'shelo min hamuchan tahor. If it's muchan, so it was set aside, therefore it's mekabel tuma. V'shelo min hamuchan, it is not something that was designated, so it is not mekabel tuma. We're overextending ourselves by offering any translations right now on min hamuchan, min shelo min hamuchan. The Gemara will deal with that. The Omar Ula, Vitemo Ravo Barachana, Omar Yochanan, Hakol Moidim. All Tanoim will agree. Zorkoi Ba'ashba, if you took this rag that's less than 3 by 3 hand breadths, a piece of cloth, and you threw it into a garbage heap, everyone agree tohar, that it's of so little significance that it won't be mekabel tuma. It's been voided from any vessel status. Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Hinichoi Bekufsa, if you took this 3 by 3 hand breadth, or this less than 3 by 3 hand breadths piece of material, and you put it in a box for safe storage, Divrei Hakol Tame, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Akiva will concede that such a thing is mekabel tuma, since he's revealed through his actions what he intends with regard to this piece of cloth. He's assigning significance to it, and hence it makes it, the higher the significance to an item, the more subject it is to kabbalas tuma. Lo nechluku ela shetolu b'mogud o shenichoi la'achorei hadelas. The machlokes Tanoim arises only when he took this small piece of fabric, less than 3 by 3 hand breadths of fabric, and hung it on a hook or put it behind his door. That's Tolo B'mogud, is to hang on a hook, or Shenicha Choredelzi, put it on the back side of his door, on the inside of his door. Rabbi Lezer Savar, Midelo Zorko B'ashpa, Daiti Uluya. Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion, let's not forget, Rabbi Lezer says, whether it's min hamuchan or shelo min hamuchan, they will be mekabel tuma. So he holds that from the fact that he didn't throw it into the garbage, daite aluya, he's revealing to us his mindset that he's interested in it, and hence it's subject to kabbalas tuma. So it's sort of in a negative sense, meaning from the fact that he did not throw it in the ashba, we see his intentions. V'amai kori le shelo min hamuchan. Why do you use the expression? And we saw that in the Tanaic source. We said, "Bein min amuchan, bein shelo min amuchan." Why do you call this shelo min amuchan? After all, you are saying that it's mekabel tuma. So, if it has significance enough to mekabel tuma, why do you call it shelo min amuchan, that it wasn't set aside? The Gemara answers, "Delegabi kufsa lav muchanhu," that relative to a box. So these examples, a hook or behind the door isn't quite as significant a designation as would have been, designation for use, that is, as would have been if he had put it in a box. But on a halacha, on a practical sense, or bottom line sense, according to Rabbi Lezer, with the exception of Ashpa, all the other cases, whether it be Mogud, or Choredeles, or Kufsa, they all will Mekabel Tuma. And it's all they, meaning the fabric that was put in any, this fabric of less than 3x3 handrests will Mekabel Tuma, according to the Tana Rabbi Lezer. For Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, Savar, he holds Migalo Henichoi Bekufsa, from the fact that he did not put it in a box, that he didn't put it for safekeeping, betule batle, he's really voiding the matlis less than 3x3 handbreadths. V'hamai korile muhan, if that be the case, that according to Rabbi Yeshua, only by putting in a box do you grant it significance to makabel tuma. But all the other cases, including the hanging it on a hook, it would not mekabel tuma. So why do you call it muhan? Muhan meaning something that's been designated or set aside. If that would have been the case, so it should have been mekabel tuma. Yet he says it's not mekabel tuma. The case of hanging it on a hook. So if it's not mekabel tuma, why do you call it muhan? Answer: the legabi ashpa muhan, who only in contrast to a garbage heap. We can say that someone putting it on a hook is in effect making the rag. But practically speaking, though, Rabbi Yeshua says, even that case will not mekabel tuma. As far as Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, the only case of kabbalas tuma would be where it's put into a box. Rabbi Akiva, he has a hybrid shita. Number one, betoloi v'mogud sover k'Rabbi Eliezer. By hanging it on a hook, Rabbi Akiva will adopt Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, and that is that it will be mekabel tuma. Benicha choredeles sover lo k'Rabbi Yeshua. But throwing it behind the door, that's according that then Rabbi Akiva will agree with Rabbi Yeshua that a choredeles is tohor. Tohor means it's not mekabel tuma. V'honor be Rabbi Akiva legabe Rabbi Yeshua. And at the end, Rabbi Akiva then abandons his opinion and goes straight like Rabbi Yeshua, and that the result of that would be that he'll be matar even min amuchan. And as far as the original shita of Rabbi Akiva, it's changed now that. That he will mitahir even that which he had called muhan, and that would be the case where he hung it on a hook, where originally that was tome, and we classify that as min hamuhan. Here he reverses his opinion and says it will be tohar, like Rabbi Yeshua says. Mimai, how do I know that that's Rabbi Kiva's new opinion? Omar Rovo, Midiktoni Psilas Habeged, from the fact that the Mishnah taught the Loshon Psilas Habeged, Ma'ire Ditoni Psilas Habeged, listening Psilas Shalbeged, why does the Mishnah use the expression Psilas Habeged when it could have used the expression Psilas Shalbeged, a wick made of fabric? So, what's in the words? What's in the term psilas habeged that clues us into what is going on here? My psilas habeged da dayin beged hu, meaning it still has the din of an article of clothing. It's still something that's subject to kabbalas tuma. That even though it's been twisted into a wick, as long as it hasn't been singed, it still maintains its identity as a beged. And even so, and here's the main point, and even so, Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah says, Tahorahi. So we see that Rabbi Akiva is very into granting tahara to these items, even in the case that it would be muhan. the Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us glance at the side under our No Say heading. We've written Sidurei Shemen Veneir L'Shabbos, different setups of oil for a candle to burn through Shabbos. You'll notice that in the Mishnah we have some diamonds, and under our Mivneh heading, these are Gimel Tsuros Shel Ner, three different forms of a candle. Of course, when we're talking about a candle, I'm sure everyone is familiar, having learned numerous daf until now, we're not talking about those wax candles that you buy in boxes with a wick in the middle, but rather we're talking about an oil lamp, where you have an oil receptacle with a wick protruding from it, which serves as what we refer to as the ner, the candle. In our Mishnah, we'll see different setups of this, and as we indicate, the diamond highlights these three different setups, and a double underline will appear in the Mishnah with dots in it, highlighting the expression Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda is lenient with regard to the topics featured here. There's an underlying fear that exists, or potential that exists, when you have a candle with oil burning in it, that one will be tempted to take the oil out of the candle or remove part of the oil, maybe to use for a salad dressing or something else. And that would be an iser of mechabe. In other words, reducing the fuel of oil designated for a candle is an iser on Shabbos. It's forbidden to do that. So we're looking into different oil setups where this fear will be reduced, will be where the potential will be reduced, and that would create a greater chance of it being mutter. So the Mishnah: Lo yikoiv odom shoferes shel beitza vimaleno shemen vietneno al pi haner b'shvil shetei menateves ve'afilu hi shocheres. The Mishnah told us lo yikov is not to make a hole in a shoferes shel beitza. That's an eggshell. An eggshell naturally could serve as an oil receptacle, as an oil, we'll call it an oil reservoir. And if you make a hole in the oil in the eggshell, the oil will drip into another receptacle holding a wick. So we're told here, do not set up a candle like that, where you'll have the oil stored in an eggshell dripping into another receptacle that has some more oil and a wick protruding from it. Even if the shoferes, the upper container, is not an eggshell, but even if it's made of earthenware, that's the shoferes is not a shoferes shel beitza, but a little bowl or receptacle made of earthenware. The mixing of or the storing of oil in an earthenware shoferes makes the oil undesirable, makes it mo'us, that you would think that a person wouldn't draw from that oil. Nevertheless, the Tanakama does not allow this kind of oil reservoir setup, where you have this beitza or the shoferes, that is, of beitza or of cheres, serving as an oil supply to a ner that's located underneath it. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda is not suspicious or not concerned that a person may come to draw from the oil. Avol, the Mishnah goes on, im chibro hayotzer mitchila mutar mitneishu kli echad. If the yotzer, he's the potterer, if he attaches the shoferes, in this case shoferes shel cheres, to the ner, making it into one single vessel, then even the Tanakama will say it's mutter, and that is because people realize that it's Shabbos. They won't forget themselves. Being that it's one vessel, people won't forget themselves and draw the oil from it. The fear is if they're two separate vessels, simply located one over the other, that a person will forget himself and draw from the oil. But as we said, if it's one vessel, a person knows it's Shabbos and he won't forget himself. Another case, lo yimale odom keoro shel shemen v'yitneno bitzad haner v'yitain roish hapsila besocha b'shvil shetehe shoeves. And verbuta matir. What's this? This is a case of not one on top of the other, but here you have a bowl filled with oil and a long wick where the back end of the wick is in this bowl and the wick is absorbent. The other end of the wick is in the nair, is in the receptacle, we'll call it the original candle receptacle, where the wick is lit. So you have to imagine a type of called a snake-formed wick here, that it's lit at one end, and the other end, the back end of this long wick, is in a keora, in a bowl, so that what you've done is you've extended the oil supply by having this additional bowl from which the wick is drawing additional oil. Well, this setup, the Tanakhama says, is not to be set up on Shabbos, to be used for your Shabbos candles. The word in the Mishnah at the end of the line, Shoeves, is to draw, where the wick draws the oil from that second bowl that's next to the nair. And once again, as we saw, Rabbi Yehuda is not worried. He doesn't make the Gezerah. The Gemara here does what it does in many places. It does a Tzrichusa, showing me that I need to have all of these cases. And with our markings, we indicate this with a long marking. Here we entitle it, we call it a tsricha. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you can see we wrote the word tsricha and circled it with a vertical descending dashed line. Once again, why I need to be taught each one of these examples. U tsricha. The E ashminin, and what we've done, and we do this very often with these tsrichusa type Gemaras, we squiggle underline the expression e ashman. If I would be told one case, I wouldn't be able to figure out the other. So the Gemara says, the ashmina shefer shel beitza, had I told you the case of the egg shell, oil reservoir, beha ko'amri rabbonan, here the rabbonan, or they are the Tanakama in the Mishnah of the first opinion, here they're restrictive, the kima de lo mi'isa, osi listapuke mina, since it's not disgusting, there's no deterring factor, so he will come to draw from it, and therefore they would be restrictive there. Avol shel cheres de mi'isa, the case of the clay oil holder, there it's disgusting. Emo modu le the rabbuta. Maybe there the rabbonin would have conceded to rabbuta and say it's okay. He won't. There's no fear he'll draw from the oil once it's become maus. The e ashim inan shecheres. Had I taught you only the case of the cheres oil receptacle, the haka amar rabbuta. There rabbuta would say it's okay. Avol be'ayemo modu le the rabbonin. But in the case of the eggshell, maybe rabbuta would have conceded to the rabbonin that it's prohibited. Therefore, I need to be told both the Beitzah case and the Cheres case so as to show how far each one of these opinions goes in their respective directions. The E. Ashmin Hanach Tarti, had I told you these cases, these two cases of Beitzah and Cheres, Behani Ko'omar Rabbi Yehuda, there Rabbi Yehuda is Mekil, he's lenient, Mishun Delo Mifsik. One is positioned in the other. There's nothing separating one from the other. In other words, the eggshell or the cheres, shfoferes, is located within, Rashi says, within the airspace of the bottom wick oil receptacle. So there's no hefsik. Avol ke'ora demifsika, emo modi luhu l'rabbonan. But in the case of the bowl of oil, which is placed next to the candle with the burning end of the wick, where there is a break between them. In other words, one is not positioned within the other, next to each other. So there's a gap between the two. So I would have thought there, the oil reservoir bowl is kind of removed from the candle. So I would think that's reason for being more stringent. That's Eimo Modu Lahu the Rabbonan. There I would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda might concede to the Rabbonan that it's forbidden. So I need to be told the case of the Ka'orah to show how far Rabbi Yehuda goes in allowing things. The Ashminan Behahi, had we taught the case of the Ka'orah, then Behahi Kamri Rabbonan, there the Rabbonan, and only there I would have thought they are restrictive. Avol Behani Tarti, the case of the Beitz and the Cheres, Eimo Modu Rabbi Yehuda. I would have thought that maybe the Rabbonan would concede to Rabbi Yehuda that it's mutter, being that there's less fear of drawing from it. Tzricha. So I need to be told that case, those cases as well. I need all three cases, because having taught one, I would not have been able to figure out what the different rabbinic positions would be regarding the other. V'im chibro ha-yotzer mitchila muter. Here we dash down the line. Yotzer means the potterer, the artisan who forms, who manufactures and forms these vessels. Tana, we have a Tanaic source that says im chibro besid ubecharosis muter. Now, the main point in this short Tanaic source is not in the words, but the reference is to the homeowner, the balabais himself. In other words, a non-professional, a commoner. If a person from the general population attaches it, the oil receptacle, the oil reservoirs, we call it, termed it, to the lower nair, if a balabais attached it with sid or charosis, different materials that are used for fastening one to the other, it would be okay. So the Gemara asks, v'hanan yotzer tanan, but in the Mishnah it said only if the potterer makes it, not a commoner. In other words, you would need to have a professional making this connection. And yet we have this other source that says anyone could make the connection between the two vessels, and that would create leniency. So the Gemara answers, my yotzer. What does the term yotzer in the Mishnah convey? Ke'en yotzer. It means like a professional connection. In other words, a secure connection. It's not who fastens the two vessels one to the other, but it's how they're fastened one to the other that is of importance. Tanya. Omar Rebbe Yehuda, Palm Achas, Shavtinu, Balias, Beis Natsa, Balud. Once we spent a Shabbos in the Aliyah's a second story, an attic of Beit Natsa. It's the name of a home in the city of Lud. V'heviu lonush versha beitza, manua shemen. And they brought to us on Erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, an eggshell, and we filled it with oil, v'nekvenua, and we made a hole in it, v'nachnua, al pi haner, and we positioned it over a ner, v'hoya shom Rabbi Tarfon zekein v'lo omru lanu davar. And the Rabbi Tarfon, major Jewish leader, and other sages were there, and they didn't say anything about it. So it seems that what we did was okay. And this is, of course, Rabbi Yehuda featuring the story. We underlined his name at the beginning of the source. This reflects Rabbi Yehuda, where he got his heter from in the Mishnah, probably from this incident. Omru lo, so those that argue with Rabbi Yehuda said to him, Misham Raya, are you trying to bring a proof to a general legal acceptance of this Shvoferis setup? From that story in the Aliyah's Beis Natsa, Shiny Beis Natsa. Beis Natsa is different. There's reason. They are very diligent, very careful, very scrupulous individuals, and they won't come to drawing from the oil. But to make a general lenient halachic ruling based on Beit Natsa, that you cannot do. So the machlokas remains as we saw in the Mishnah. Here you see a series marking. We have triangles that are used, and on the side of the Gemara we feature this under our Nosei Mivneh heading. These are Maisim, these are incidents involving Begreiras Safsol V'dover She'eno Miskaving, the dragging of a bench. We'll see other things, other items that are dragged on a floor. And the general topic is Dover Sheinu Miskaving, where you don't have an intent for a Shabbos Malacha. In dragging a bed or a chair on a dirt floor, for example, if it were a dirt floor, here we're going to see that not necessarily the case in the stories, but in general, drawing dragging a bed or a chair on a dirt floor could create a ditch in the floor. And a ditch in a dirt floor is itself, we'll call it symptomatic or symbolic of a malacha. For example, if one takes a plow in a field and draws the plow through the field, that's a malacha gemura, that's called malachas harisha. So, what is the din with regard to drawing a bed on a dirt floor in a house where you obviously don't have an intent to do the malacha of harisha, but that result may very well take place? So that's called a dover she'eno miskaven. What do we have to say about that? So we can say, just by way of introduction, that this issue of dover she'eno miskaven is a general machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is Mekil, Rabbi Shimon is Mekil, Rabbi Yehuda is Machmir. And by the way, we saw this in a previous sugya involving Rabbah and his paskening in general, like Rav, except for three cases, and one of them was this very case of Greiras Safsal. So our Gemara continues, Oven Tziporo, that's a man's name, Gora Safsalo, Be'ilisa de Shisha li'elo me'Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar. So this gentleman, Ovin, dragged a bench, be'ilisa is an attic, a second story. The Shisha means the floor was made of marble, of shayish. It was a marble floor, a tiled floor. Li'elo means in front of me'Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar, in the presence of Rabbi Yitzchok. Omarle, so Rabbi Yitzchok says, Ishtuki loch ki disha siku le chavre the Rabbi Yehuda, if I remain silent, like we saw in the story above with Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Tarfon and Zkenim, where we saw in that source that he said they didn't tell us anything, they remained quiet. And we have a little arrow to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text to enable you to make this connection. So if I remain silent in the face of what you're doing, like they remain silent, they remain silent when Rabbi Yehuda was present, so nafik minei churba, then a misunderstanding or a ruination of the halacha will result. In other words, I cannot remain silent. Gezeiro ilisa de shisha otu ilisa de alma. I have to rule against dragging the bench on a marble, on a tiled floor, even though in this case per se there is no problem. But if we allow dragging of benches on this kind of floor, they'll drag them on dirt floors also. And I am opposed to having things dragged on dirt floors. Reish Kinishta de Batzra, the head of the assembly in Batzra, Gora Safsala Li'elo Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba. Same type of incident, whereas he dragged a bench in front of Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba. Omale, Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba turns to the fellow dragging the bed and says, "Come on, Rabbi Shimon, do you think you are doing this, allowing yourself to drag the Safsal, based on Rabbi Shimon?" And we pointed out before that Rabbi Shimon is lenient with regard to Dovor She'eno Miskaven. So he goes on to say, Amar D'Omar Rabbi Shimon B'Gedolim D'Lo Efsher. Granted, Rabbi Shimon has an allowance of dragging these different types of furniture on when they're very large, when they're very heavy, where you can't pick them up and carry them. There's when you have no other choice, so he'll allow that, allow the dragging of it. Biktanim mi Omar, but a small, lightweight furniture, would he allow dragging? Rather, no. Everyone would say that it is forbidden, and what you are doing is something that no one will concede to. So we see here Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba presenting his take on Greira Safsal, namely, the machloikis, Rabbi Shimon Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, would be on a heavy one. The lightweight furniture, though, everyone will agree, is forbidden. That's Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba's take on things. We have a little chart on the side that might help in following the shitas Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba, and soon we're now going to learn Ula, Upliga de Ula. This is at odds with Ula's approach. Diyomar Ula. You can see we have the house form in this in two directions, and on the side of the Gemara we have these forms featured, and we've noted there Shnei Deos Amoroyim B'ma Chokim Rav Shimon Rav Yehuda Uvame Yesh Haskama, and that's regarding the Greiras Safsal. So our Gemara continues, as we said, Ula disagrees with Rav Yirmiyahu Rabba. The Omar Ula Machlikas Biktanim. There is the controversy between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is regarding lightweight ones. Aval Begedolim, but with regard to heavy ones, Divrei Hakol Mutar. Even Rabbi Yehuda will say it's allowed. And you can see this also on our chart. The Amoroyim have stated their positions. Now, what the Gemara does is it presents a question, and the question is coming from a Tanaic source, and it will appear that the question is against both of the Amoroyim that we saw. And then you will see that each one answers according to his own approach. So the Gemara raises the question, Mosiv Rav Yosef. Rav Shimon Omer Gorer Odom Mita Kise V'Safsol. A person can drag a Mita. A Mita is a bed, and that's like a heavy thing. A Kise is a chair, it's a lightweight thing. And a Safsol, a bench. Ubilvan Shelo Yiskavin Lasos Chritz. Provided you don't have an intention in the dragging of it to make a ditch. In other words, your intention is simply to transfer its location from one end of the room to another. And we have to add, and we've written between the lines, Rabbi Yehuda Oser. Rabbi Yehuda will forbid all of these cases. Kotoni gedolim v'kotoni ktanim. In this source, it teaches large ones and it teaches small ones. Kashi l'travayu. Both this is a question on both Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba and Ula, because each one of them, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba and Ula, had a point at which there would be agreement between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether it be something large or possibly something small. But here we have both large and small, Rabbi Shimon allowing and Yehuda forbidding, so that there is no point of agreement between the two Tanoim. That is a problem for Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba and for Ula. So the Gemara answers, Ula mitaretz l'tamei, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba mitaretz l'tamei. Each one of these Amoroyim explains this Tanaic source to agree with their own respective opinions. Ula mitaretz l'tamei, Ula straightens out the source according to his own reason. Now Ula says that only by the ketanim is there a machlokes. So he says, Mita dumya dekise. The bed featured here is like a chair. In other words, it's a small bed. And this source that we read with Reb Shimon's name featured in, at the beginning, this source represents a machlokas because Reb Yehuda disagrees. But the disagreement concerns a mita that's like a kisei insofar as they are lightweight. That's when you have a machlokas according to Ula. But if they would be heavy pieces of furniture, then there would be agreement that it's allowed. And Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba mitaretz l'tamei. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba, in looking at this source, he also explains according to his approach that only by gedolim, only by the heavy ones, is there a machlokas. And that is kisei, the kisei featured in this source, dumya d'mita. It's a very heavy chair, like a mita is, generally speaking, heavy. Mosiv Rabba. Here we have a question, and this question you'll see is posed against Rav Yirmiyahu Rabba. So Mosiv Rabba, Moichrei Ksus Moichrim Kedarkon. By the way, we're not dealing right now with the specific case of dragging of the bed, but with the general theory behind it of Dovor She'ein Meskaven. So this source features someone that's selling clothing, and he's actually selling clothing that are kilayim, that are shatnez, something that a person is not allowed to wear. Here we have someone that's not, that he's the vendor, he's a seller of kilayim, he's a Jew who's selling these shot in these clothing, and hopefully he's selling them to Gentiles that are not chayav in Kilayim. And it says in this source, Mochri Ksus Mochrim Kedarkon, they can sell in their regular fashion. What you know what that means, their regular fashion. They're actually wearing them, they're wearing the clothing in order to show what it looks like. Rashi says, Mochrin Kedarkon, Ksus Shel Kilayim, Lov Shel Bishuk, Kedei Lahar Oisoy Lemochru, to show it to the purchase, potential customer. The law should tell Levisha Shehi Lishamein, the Torah answers only a type of wearing that you derive personal pleasure from it. Kedera Kol HaLov Shem, V'Halov Dumi the Levisha Nami Demis Hanibon, the idea of covering oneself like with a chatnez sheet or a chatnez quilt. That's where you are enjoying it. But if you're, let's say, just demonstrating clothing item and how it looks or how to wear it, that would be okay from the Torah standpoint. So the source says that a person selling chatnez clothing can sell it in the normal way, which involves modeling it, provided that he doesn't have kavona b'chama b'nei achama, he shouldn't have kavona in the heat to derive benefit from it as a means of shading himself from the heat, cooling himself off, or in the shamim, in the rainy season, he shouldn't have intention to derive warmth from it. And if he doesn't have this intention, then it's okay. The tzur people are exceptionally pious that happen to be these chatnez clothing vendors. They wouldn't wear the clothing as they are selling them, but rather they would hang them from sticks over their slung over their backs. The ha-ha-ha, in the case of the clothing salesman, the efsher lemevad kitznuim, the option of doing it in the totally heter way exists, just like we saw by the tznuim, the pious ones, so that you have a possibility of doing it in a totally mutter way, the chiktanim domi, that makes it like the lightweight furniture, something that you could pick up. So you're dealing here with something where there's a potential of doing it in a totally mutter way. And if you don't have a forbidden intention, Rabbi Shimon allows it at the outset. Go right ahead and wear it. Wear the chatnez. Or in the case of the, let's say, the lightweight furniture, if you take the same idea and transpose it to the dragging of the furniture, the lightweight furniture, go right ahead and drag it. See, Rabbi Shimon, as long as you don't have the intention of making a ditch. Well, so then, what did we see originally? We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align this with the arrow above, and we saw there Rav Yirmiyahu Rabba saying that Rav Shimon would not allow, in the case of lightweight furniture, to drag it. Here we're saying, in the case of the lightweight furniture, if you don't, as long as you don't have the improper kavana, you are allowed to go ahead and drag it. Tufta to Rav Yirmiyahu Rabba. This would appear to be a repudiation of Rav Yirmiyahu Rabba. Tufta. The Gemara says, well, it certainly is. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, on the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, we've written Dugmois, Shoinois, or Sibos, different examples or reasons, Shel Kibui Ner, why one might put out a candle on Shabbos. Mehem Chayav, in some of the cases, if he does so, if he acts according to his intention, he'll be Chayav, means he'll be in violation of a Torah prohibition of Shabbos violation. And Umehem Potter, some are not Torah forbidden. They are not allowed, but they're Potter. If one does it, he won't be Chayav the Shabbos punishment. The Mishnah. Hamechabes Aner, a person who puts out a candle, a burning candle, and he extinguishes it, he's afraid of Gentiles. Rashi points out that there were times in history, like in the Persian exile, that the Persians had an idolatrous holiday that they would punish those who were lighting fires in any place other than in their temples. So if one, let's say, put out a fire because of that kind of fear, or fear of bandits discovering him. So he wants to create a blackout. Mipnei ruach ra. Rashi explains, Mipnei ruach ra habo alav kshenu ra noachos, a person who's stricken with what's called in Hebrew mora shchora, type of called mental state of mind that causes a person to lose himself. And people like that are calmed when they sit in darkness. So that because of if a person puts out a candle so as to create this sense of equanimity and calmness on the part of someone that otherwise suffers from mora shchora, mitnei hachoila, or someone puts it out because there is someone that is sick and needs to go to sleep. So mitnei hachoila sheishan, because of this sick person, so that he's able to sleep. So all of these cases, potter, his extinguishing of the candle would not be considered a Torah level Shabbos violation, because the malacha of kibui, the malacha of the prohibited activity of putting out a fire, is stated under very specific circumstances, and that's where you're putting out a fire with the intention of creating coals. In other words, to manufacture coals, what one does ordinarily is he burns logs, burns wood, and after it burns and turns into a charcoal, you then put out the fire. That putting out of the fire is the formal molocha of mechabeh. In any of these cases, so it doesn't constitute that type of kibui. The intention here is different. Kechos al haner, person who is Rashi says kechos al haner she ra'uhu shemiskalkel v'chosalav v'kibas apsila. He sees that the oil receptacle, the nair, which is technically speaking the oil receptacle, is getting ruined by the flame that's burning in it. So he puts out the flame because he's concerned. Chos means he has compassion, literally has compassion on his vessel. In other words, he wants to save his vessel. Kechos al hashemen. He puts out the candle because he is concerned about saving his oil. Kechos al hapsila, or he doesn't want the wick to completely burn out. In other words, to get used up. So in these cases, he's chos al aner, al hashemen, al hapsila. The Tanakhama says chayav. That would be a Shabbos level Torah violation. Rabbi Yossi poter b'chulon chutz min apsila. Rabbi Yossi exempts in all of these cases, even the case of chos al ner, chos al shemen, with the exception of one who extinguishes the wick, because mitneshu ose pechom. When you blow out a wick, what you do is the tip of the wick is left with a charred tip, and that burns better when you relight it at a later time. And that's called a malocha tzricha leguf. That's the formal case of maleches kibui. You're making pechon, you're making charcoal. Here, you're making a charcoal tip of that wick. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.